Time to get it underway. Another week of the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Glad to have you connected. Hope you enjoyed that sports weekend. Hope you're enjoying today's beautiful weather. Typical summertime weather here in the Summit City. So many things to talk about before we wrap up this show at 6 o'clock, including a visit with the TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers, Chris Denari. Not only will he talk to us about his thoughts on the NBA Finals, but we'll also get his take on Colin Morikawa winning the Open Championship yesterday. Chris Denari joins us about 30 minutes from now. Also in our next hour, former Carroll product, former Ball State Cardinal, Kyle Mallers has signed a European basketball contract. He'll be playing pro ball overseas, and we'll talk to Kyle Mallers about, well, his career and his thoughts on being a Ball State Cardinal, but also what's ahead for him as he begins his pro career. Also on the way, it is our weekly visit with Anthony Contreras. Of course, we have moved it to Monday because Monday are Tin Caps days off, and so Anthony Contreras will join us at about 5:35 this afternoon. Once again, glad to have you on board our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862, 46862. Let the crowning begin. Apparently, if you listen to most of the media, it is Milwaukee that is going to almost guaranteed win the NBA championship after the Bucks won on the road in Phoenix on Saturday night, 123-119. The overreaction begins. This is the second time in the series it feels like we've got overreaction. First, it was Phoenix winning the first two home games somewhat convincingly, and everybody started to crown Phoenix the champion. Then Milwaukee comes back. They win the last three games straight, and now everybody is ready to hand the trophy over to the Milwaukee Bucks. I say, not so fast, my friend. You know, it was a good win for Milwaukee. Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday combined to go 38 of 66 from the field. They were 6 of 15, 40% from beyond the arc. They combined to score 88 points, 20 rebounds, 24 assists. I thought Drew Holiday may have been one of the keys for the Bucks and what he was able to do, hitting a couple of big shots, making a couple of big plays, including, of course, that defensive play at the end. But you know, Phoenix wasn't horrible. They got 40 points from Devin Booker. All five of their starters scored in double figures. They were only out-rebounded by two, and that has been a nemesis in this series. They had only eight turnovers after turnovers really cost them in Game 4, but they still lost, and they lost at home. That means they've got to find a way to win in Milwaukee, and that's not going to be easy, but it doesn't mean the series is over. For Phoenix, all they've got to focus on is one game. Just get this back to a deciding game in front of that Phoenix crowd. Phoenix has to feel like they're not going to lose back-to-back on their home floor where they were good this year. And with that crowd in a Game 7, I mean, I think it's a 50-50 game. So I think for Phoenix, all they've got to try to do is figure out what are the keys to winning one game on the road. And that game has to be Game 6 coming up Tuesday in Milwaukee. Of course, if Milwaukee ends up winning this series, if they do hold on, this whole series is going to be remembered by two defensive plays. Not offense, defense. You know what they say, defense wins championships, and a couple of defensive plays made by the Bucks are going to go down as really the two key plays of this entire series. One, Giannis Antetokounmpo with the block in Game 4 when he went up and met DeAndre Ayton high above the rim on an alley-oop to block it away and to preserve a Milwaukee win in Game 4. And then Holiday, Drew Holiday, with the strip of Devin Booker. And not only the strip, but the pass he made on the alley-oop in transition was right on the money. And I've tried that pass. I've had players or my kids that have tried to do alley-oops and stuff, and it is not as easy as those guys make it look to just toss a ball up to the basket and put it in a perfect position for your guy to go up, get it at the peak, and be able to slam it down. The timing of it, as far as how far out you lead them, the height, as far as how high they can jump, there's a lot of factors that goes into that. I mean, I was throwing it up there, and half of them were going in the bucket, half of them were going over their heads and straight out of bounds. It is not as easy as it looks when those guys throw those passes. Now, you've got a pretty big margin for error because these guys are 6'11", 7 feet, and can practically jump out of a gym. So much more margin of error for them than it was for me when I was doing it with my 6-foot son, who gets about 4 inches above the rim, maybe 6 inches if you ask him. But it's not that easy. But that was a heck of a play by Holiday to seal the game Saturday night. And in my mind, Devin Booker just seemed to not really know. He felt like he needed to make a play, but he didn't know what he wanted to do to make that play. He kind of dribbled around, hesitated, eventually worked his way right into the middle of a triple team. And because of the triple team, he had no escape, and Holiday alertly reached in and pulled the ball away. And that's on Booker. Now, Holiday's the one credited with the play, but Booker is the one that put him into a position where it really wasn't that difficult of a steal. It was just muscle versus muscle, and Holiday, stronger than Booker, Holiday wins. Heck of a game, though, after Phoenix jumped out to that big lead early, that Milwaukee was able to storm back. And it wasn't the case where Milwaukee got themselves back into the game after, 15, 16 minutes. No, Milwaukee got themselves back in the game in about 7 or 8 minutes. They were right back in it and, in fact, took the lead before halftime. Chris Middleton in this series is now 50 of 112 from the field. He's 15 for 41 from three-point land, 25.4 points per game, 6.6 rebounds a contest, and 5.4 assists. He's been solid. He's been complete. And once again, I bring it up because I feel like I was wrong. I think Caleb would admit maybe he was wrong, that Middleton has been a very solid Robin. Now, here's the thing. Does Milwaukee believe that Chris Middleton is showing exactly what Chris Middleton will continue to be, and to be that Scottie Pippen to a Michael Jordan, and to be that guy that can step up and put up 25 points per game? And I think right now he's played at a level that the Bucks have rarely seen and consistently have seen it. I mean, he had a couple of games where he dropped a little bit, but the Bucks still won both those games in games 3 and 4. But I still think, man, I think Middleton should be part of a package, and they should be aggressive and try to go get Damian Lillard, because if Lillard wants to win a championship, no better person to partner with right now than Giannis Antetokounmpo, who continues to get better. He's only 26 years old. But it was a big win for Milwaukee, and now Game 6, Bucks can wrap it up. But let's not forget, before we get ahead of ourselves, Phoenix did win the first two games of this series by double digits. Phoenix is fully capable of figuring out these Milwaukee Bucks. Now, it's been the pattern that Milwaukee has started series slowly and then improved as the series have rolled on. Look at the case in point against the Brooklyn Nets, when they were able to win crunch time without Giannis Antetokounmpo. But Phoenix has that confidence where they have won a couple of games convincingly, and in fact, they were up 9 points in the fourth quarter of Game 4 in Milwaukee. What a different series it would be if we now had Phoenix holding on to that lead. Phoenix led by 16 after the first quarter of Game 5 on Saturday night. 16. The only problem is they then trailed at halftime. But I don't think this series is over. I think Phoenix has a shot to win in Milwaukee. Do I seem to favor Milwaukee winning at home? Sure. Been the pattern. Home teams have won 4 of the first 5 games, and Milwaukee won both their games at home so far in this series. But do I believe that Phoenix is done and we should just hand the trophy over to the Milwaukee Bucks? No. I'm not ready to get ahead of ourselves because I still think there's enough talent in Phoenix that they can bounce back from what happened, which was losing on their home floor, which surely was a disappointment for them because now they've kind of given up home court advantage. I don't think it's over, Caleb.
It's over. Look, the Suns got off to a hot start in the series. The Bucks have been a slow-starting team throughout these playoffs, not just in this series, but in general in the 2021 NBA playoffs. They stole one at Phoenix Saturday night. What a finish to that game. The final, you know, couple of minutes, just a flurry of activity. You thought the Suns were going to come back and pull it off, and then instead,
well, that was
Drew Holiday
such
stripped.
A swing of,
oh,
I
yeah.
mean, big start by Phoenix, big second quarter by Milwaukee. Bucks started to pull away in the third, and then the Phoenix Suns stormed back in the fourth. And yes, you got down to the finish, and you thought, this is going right to the wire. It's almost like a good horse race, where
yeah.
somebody gets out of the gates quickly, takes that first turn, they're clear in front of the field. All of a sudden, here comes a horse from the outside, makes the pass in turn two, leads big heading into turn three. The other horse starts to catch up, and then going down to the wire, you're not sure what's going to happen. And that's kind of the way you felt about this game. And it was all really that one play that decided it down the stretch, I felt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that single play by Drew Holiday and then the pass, like you said, I mean, an exceptional pass. Giannis in the right spot at the right time. The stare down by Giannis after the dunk, I thought, was legendary because of just the context of, you know, just Suns fans and the, I don't know if you saw, there's a guy literally FaceTiming in his buddy in the stands to count during Giannis's free
oh,
throws.
Oh, yeah. That, well, they the guy was counting the $100 bills to
yeah.
count down. And,
yeah.
And, I mean, yes, it has become a bit ridiculous that Giannis does take 11, 12, or 13 seconds to shoot a free throw, especially since he misses most of the ones he takes. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were going 11, 12, 13 seconds, then making all of them. But it's like, you know, I just don't get his whole routine at the free throw line. At this point, if I'm him, I'm figuring out everything I can change as far as timing and routine at the free throw line to shoot free throws better. What is he? He's less than, is he just barely over 50%? He's like 52, 53% for the series.
Let's just put it this way. Friday night, we had our charity basketball game, and I had zero warm-up. I didn't get a single shot off. I got fouled, opening drive, switched two free throws.
You're the man.
So I went 3-for-4 from the line in that game. I'm shooting better than Giannis, and I didn't even warm up.
Shooting
so
with
I
your
mean,
eyes closed, you can make.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
But the important part of that game, if you're going to bring it up, is it a win or does the streak continue? Did we win?
Oh, no, we lost.
Okay.
I was thinking the finals game, like what streak?
No,
continues?
No. I'm talking about the streak of this charity game.
Oh,
it's
no.
the one basketball game we play every year. And I say we, I started the streak. I think I was responsible for about the first three losses. But it's now a streak that's reached what?
I think it's six. I don't know. I know it started before I got here in 17. So
I know those couple of games are still under protest, but I think they do have to count against us. I think I did file protest on a couple of games because I thought the refs were picking on me. Didn't give me any calls.
They missed a call on me where I got blocked and I got hacked on the arm. But anyway, not bitter at all.
One-sided.
The Bucks, to me, I mean, they are head and shoulders above the Suns at this point in the series. And Chris Paul has just, I mean, largely become a non-factor after the opening couple of games. And I think the Bucks will finish it off tomorrow night.
What we've seen at this point is the character and the maturity of the Milwaukee Bucks when it comes to playoff basketball. That there's no adversity they haven't been able to face. Falling behind good teams in the playoffs, but they don't get rattled. They were down 16 after one quarter in front of a crazy crowd in Phoenix. And of course, Caleb, as you know, game five is always the what? Pivotal
game
of the series.
That's why I say it's over.
And well, they did make the pivot, but they, I mean, they somehow just did not seem to get flustered. They didn't change their game. They didn't try to go one-on-one. They just stuck with their game plan. And, you know, we've been on Budenholzer, I have a couple of times during this playoffs, thinking that maybe he was outcoached. And I think, you know what, the one thing he did do is he keeps his team composed and confident even when facing very adverse situations. They faced a mountain to climb after that first quarter in Phoenix on Saturday, and it took them almost no time to climb it. It was one quarter later, they're ahead, they're in control at halftime.
And Budenholzer was a guy that the Pacers thought, well, if he becomes available, we want to hire him to be the head coach. I mean, those were the reports.
Yeah.
And that was going back, what, to the second round, or at least to the the Eastern Conference Finals when it looked like, oh yeah, Brooklyn's going to claim this over the Bucks, no question at that point. And look how much that has changed since then.
Yeah, and I'm still not necessarily sold on Budenholzer, but I would think it'd be very difficult for Milwaukee to move off of him if you win a title. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Coming up on the show, big announcement in our second hour. Just after 5 o'clock, we're going to make a big announcement here on the Sports Rush. Set your clocks. Be part of the program. We'll announce that coming up just after 5. Kristen Airy is going to join us about 20 minutes from now. It's all part of a big Monday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Kristen Airy is going to join us coming up on the show in about 12 minutes. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. That is how you can connect with us. Questions, comments, or suggestions. Your thoughts from a sports weekend. 46862. I don't know why this question hit me during the break, but I just wonder. Office etiquette in 2021. Someone you sit next to in the office is coughing, sneezing, or having signs and symptoms of maybe a common cold, but maybe, of course, that, you know, COVID thing. Is there ever a time where it's appropriate to ask somebody, have you been vaccinated? Is there ever a time where, for your own health and information, you can ask? Now, I know an employer can't ask an employee, things like that, but, or can they? I don't know. I'm just saying.
Some employers in our industry are requiring new hires to be vaccinated.
Really?
As of like a certain date. I want to say it's like sometime in August. Fully vaccinated.
What's the etiquette, though, in asking a coworker?
I would say stay out of it, but you could say, hey, do you mind either
taking your sick self to somewhere else in the office
or like, hey, could you go home? I mean,
referring to a specific situation. I just was thinking about the fact that you've got this group of vaccinated and non-vaccinated, and right now, everybody merged together. It's all on an honor system for the most part. And I'm just thinking, is there a point where if you're concerned for your own risk or exposure, where it's okay to ask? 46862, what are your thoughts on that? 46862, let us know on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. You know what I've been thinking about with this NBA Finals? The ratings are down. And a lot of people are going to throw out a lot of reasons why the NBA is not drawing eyeballs. I know, because everything that we talk about in the year 2020 or 2021 has become overly politicized. And so a lot of people are going to blame it on some type of political positions and everything. But the reality is, I think the NBA right now needs that superhero. You think about, when did each sport get its highest ratings? Basketball took off when Michael Jordan became an international superstar. I mean, it was okay and on the rise, doing well with Magic versus Larry Bird. But there wasn't a villain. I mean, most people kind of liked the little rivalry between those two. It's kind of like a Tom Brady versus a Peyton Manning. But I look at it and think, you know, basketball really misses that supervillain, that I call him superhero / supervillain, because it's got to be a superhero where there's a huge fan base that really loves the guy, but there's also got to be this certain part of the population that just wants them to lose so bad, whether it's LeBron, because during LeBron's prime years, I think he, especially when he went to Miami, I thought those were years where perhaps he was that guy that was maybe targeted, and you had this nice little guy from Golden State, Steph Curry. It became kind of a nice little rivalry, and that was what took basketball, I think, to a new level, was Michael Jordan was that type of player. Then golf had Tiger Woods, and it took off. It's not been the same. Tom Brady, I think he's become kind of that guy in the NFL. And I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to be that guy. He's a fun athlete to watch, but he's very likable and lovable. And he doesn't have that villain side to him. You know, Tom Brady, there are people that don't necessarily like his sideline behavior, the fact that he's overly demanding on teammates, that he'll get in people's face and yell at them, yell at coaches.
Funny, because a lot of Colts fans feel that way, but Peyton Manning was the same way.
Probably. I mean, most leaders are very demanding of their teammates, but they are also the ones that set the example in the times we aren't watching them. You know, at practice, Peyton Manning, it's very well documented that he was like the first one into the complex, last one to leave, watch more film than anybody. He knew more of the playbook as far as everybody's responsibility than anybody else in that organization. In fact, maybe even more so than the coaches did. And so he'd earned that respect among teammates so that he could get in the face and challenge them at times. And I think that in some ways is true about Tom Brady. But as a public, we see it happen during a game and we don't realize you earn that respect by what happens during the week and in practice and the way you go about your own personal work. But I don't know who the superhero is in basketball. And I don't know if Giannis could be the guy. You know, I think there has to be a certain feistiness or a polarizing part of the guy. But I'll tell you this, golf definitely needs that superhero right now. Every time we think we've got the new up-and-coming star in golf, it changes. Colin Morikawa is right now that guy. The guy that's won two majors over his last eight majors appearances. Looks like he's a guy that's going to be steady Eddie. By the way, Louis. Yeah, he's a great bet to be top five in a major. But as I learned over the weekend, he's not the guy to pick to win. Regardless of the odds, I thought I had great odds on him winning the tournament. But the sports books got the best of me because, as he has done so often, he faded from the top of the leaderboard. But Morikawa played terrific. And everybody now is jumping on the Morikawa train and saying, you know, this is the guy that at 24 years old, he's the future of golf, all this. It's much like they were talking about Jordan Spieth a few years back or Justin Thomas. Dustin Johnson was going to be that guy. Rory McIlroy has had his moments where everybody thinks he's the future star of golf, and they're still waiting for him to have that consistency. Rory seems to go up and down. You know, but you look at the four majors this year, Matsuyama, Mickelson, Rahm, and Morikawa. You couldn't have a more diverse group of golfers unless you threw maybe Bryson and Brooks Koepka. The biggest storyline in golf this year is not a player that has won on the course or a player that is dominating the field. No, it is Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau standing off the side of a practice putting green and the reaction they give to each other and their own little personal feud. That's golf's biggest story. That's kind of proof that you need a face of golf to bring eyeballs to golf. It wasn't an exciting Open Championship. I mean, there were some good things that happened, but it just wasn't the drama that you usually get in a major. At least I wasn't drawn to it like I am so many majors. Love the Masters. Usually there's drama down the last nine holes of the Masters, but just, and maybe part of it was because you saw a couple guys, Spieth dropped a couple, and then Oosthuizen dropped a couple. Koepka was never really in serious consideration. I don't know. Maybe I just missed it, but it wasn't the most exciting Sunday of Master or of Majors golf, finishing up the Open Championship. Now we have to wait. Our next major doesn't come around until next April. Seems like we've had a bunch of them this year, and we've had four of them that have all been compacted into 4 months. Now we got to wait almost 8 months to get our next major and wait for the Masters of 2022. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. Let's take a break because Chris Denary, TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers on Bally Sports Indiana, is going to join us. We'll talk NBA Finals and a little bit of golf with Chris Denary next on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. Big news we'll talk about a little bit later. that ESPN and Disney partner with Peyton Manning and Omaha Productions for a new Monday Night Football telecast that comes this fall, and an agreement that lasts for three seasons, as Peyton and Eli will basically have an alternate Monday Night Football telecast broadcasting from a remote location, with celebrities, including iconic and current players, joining in. The mega cast will air on ESPN2, distribution across Disney properties, including ESPN+. But I'm sure this is going to be a hit. And it's interesting that Peyton Manning wasn't selected to be a part of the traditional broadcast, but he is doing this as part of a mega cast. And I think that's pretty exciting news. I think that'll be fun to watch with Peyton and Eli together coming up this fall. Let's talk a little NBA basketball and a little golf with our buddy, who's the TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers on Bally Sports Indiana. He joins us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. It is Chris Denary. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, Brett. How are you?
Doing really well. Got a chance to watch some of the Open Championship. My favorite part of this tournament is the fact that you can just get up, have breakfast, and watch golf all morning. I kind of like the time difference, but you know, it came down to it on Sunday. Colin Morikawa ends up winning this thing. Very likable guy, but I was talking about this last segment. Golf needs a face that can be both superhero and villain at the same time. They're kind of missing that right now, aren't they?
Well, Brett, you know, one of the things that they might have, though, is the you know, the white horse and the black knight, I guess, with DeChambeau and Kepka, who have, you know, sort of kept up, you know, their talk about each other. But, you know, for the most part, I was so impressed with Morikawa yesterday, and even more impressed with how he addressed, you know, the audience and the gallery there after his round. I mean, you know, for 24 years of age, I mean, he sounded like a diplomat that could negotiate any type of peace treaty that you would want. And, you know, what an outstanding talent. I mean, he's been in eight majors, and he's already won two. He won the PGA and the Open Championship in the very first time he contested them. So, you know, I think there are a lot of great golfers right now. I think it is very, very difficult to win because the field is so deep. But I do think, I mean, you know, lots of people are looking for some color and, you know, some, you know, I guess, antagonists. And I think you have it, though, right now. I think Kepka and DeChambeau, it will be interesting when they go to the Ryder Cup in the fall and their teammates, and these two guys really don't like each other, but to see how that impacts Team USA when they compete against Europe.
Chris Denary joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, we've got our Parkview Sports Medicine text line open at 46862. NBA Finals, everybody's ready to hand the trophy to Milwaukee after that impressive win, come from behind style on Saturday night in Phoenix. And that was impressive. I thought it showed a lot about the maturity and the character, I guess, just the personality of this Milwaukee team. They didn't get rattled in that environment, being down as bad as they were after the first quarter. They just regrouped, dusted themselves off, and ended up having a great second quarter to take the lead by halftime.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they were tremendous. You know, Drew Holiday, I mean, that's why the Bucks got him in the trade. You know, we know what he can do defensively. He had not shot the ball well at all in this playoff series, let alone the postseason. But, you know, made big plays, made the big defensive play down the stretch against Devin Booker. But you're right. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you look at the home court advantage and the atmosphere that will be in Milwaukee tomorrow, they'll have 25,000 to 30,000 people outside Fiserv Forum. Fiserv Forum will be, you know, loaded and ready to go as they try to win their first NBA title in some 40 years. You got to go all the way back to the Bucks in the 70s when they last won it. So, but when you have players the caliber of Devin Booker and Chris Paul, I would not put it past Phoenix to even the series and send it back home. They've been as good a road team as there's been in the NBA this year, particularly in the postseason. and I would not be surprised at all. However, I do like Milwaukee tomorrow night. I'm a big fan of what Giannis has done. I think I was with you at some point here during the spring or the summer. I thought one of the major things that happened in the NBA last offseason was Giannis opting to stay in Milwaukee when so many people were talking about him going to a larger market, going to the Lakers, Knicks, Nets, Clippers, Heat, whoever. And I think it would be great if he's able to win a championship in Milwaukee. I mean, it's tough because you know that if you're the Pacers, you're in the Central Division, you're going to see Milwaukee four times a year. But I think for the good of the game, for the NBA, no matter really who wins, because these are two markets that have not been in the finals in some time. But I think if Giannis and Milwaukee can win, I think that's a great statement for the NBA.
What about Chris Middleton in this series? Because he's definitely earned Caleb and my respect, because before the playoffs started, we said the only issue with Milwaukee is they don't have a true Robin. They've got a number two, but he's not really that guy that's going to step up and be a Scottie Pippen or a true number two guy. He's been more than that in this series. And I guess, is this the real Chris Middleton, or has this been a little bit of a surprise even to someone like you?
No, I think it's been the real Chris Middleton. I mean, we've seen him develop his game over the years. I mean, he was a second-round draft pick that signed a one-year deal with Detroit, and he really bet on himself and had an excellent rookie year and then signed a bigger contract with Milwaukee, and he's been with the Bucks ever since. And I do think he's undervalued, underrated. I think we have seen how valuable he is to the Bucks during this postseason. We will see how valuable he is to Team USA in the Olympics when he joins his teammates in Tokyo later this week. It could be as early as, I guess, Wednesday or Thursday, but it could be as late as Friday or Saturday. And I think Team USA will need somebody of the ilk of Chris Middleton if they want to do what they want to do. In fact, you've got three potential starters in Holiday, Booker, and Middleton that are all playing in the NBA Finals who will be key parts of Team USA. But, you know, hats off. I mean, Middleton, the other night, a couple of those shots he hit late. I mean, deep three-point shots with somebody right in your grill, it shows what a quality player he is. And, you know, it's really been neat to see.
You know, I said this earlier, that if this series goes to the Milwaukee Bucks, the two marquee plays that we've had in this series are both going to be defensive plays. The Giannis block and the Holiday strip. Let's go back to the Giannis block. Where do you rank that as far as big-time blocks in an NBA Finals?
Well, it's got to be right up near the top. I mean, I've gotten on YouTube, and I think you know, they've listed the top 10 blocks over time, and there were probably a number of them that I've forgotten. I mean, I think of a block that was not in the NBA Finals, but was against the Pacers with a chance to go to the NBA Finals. I think, Brett, we all remember Tayshaun Prince blocking Reggie Miller at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, you know, back in the early 2000s, but. For Giannis to pirouette as he did, I mean, when that ball goes to Ayton, you know, Ayton, you know, 9 times out of 10 is going to dunk that or make that shot, and maybe 1 time out of 10 that's going to be blocked, and the odds may even be greater than that. But Giannis had to spin to get there and time it perfectly, and that was a huge block shot.
And the strip by Holiday now. That play, I think, was set up because Devin Booker had some indecision, dribbled himself right into a triple team, and that's one thing this Milwaukee defense perhaps underrated, but they were in a perfect position with the help side defense of Giannis coming over to take away the lane. That forced Booker to pick up the dribble and then pivot, and Holiday came in from the backside, made that strip. But that play, too, could be one of the keys of this entire series.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I thought Devin Booker probably went, you know, a couple of dribbles too far. He's been so good at the mid-range, so good at the free throw line, if not the dotted line. And I thought that he would raise up and shoot it from about, you know, 12 to 14 feet. And he tried to get closer. And when he spun, there was Holiday helping. And Booker had no chance either, one, to get a shot away, or two, to make a pass to an open teammate. So You know, that's the value of Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is considered one of the best defenders from a backcourt position in the NBA, and he made that huge play. And then, you know, could he have dribbled the clock out? Sure. But then he makes a brilliant pass to Giannis right at the rim for the dunk and the potential three-point play. And, you know, those are two big-time plays by Holiday.
Absolutely. So I kind of got from your tone earlier that you you gave us a hint as to far as what you're expecting in Game 6, that you do expect Milwaukee to take care of business on their home floor and get the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised. I mean, I'd be very surprised if they're not able to win at home. But, again, let's go back to Game 5. I think a lot of people with the enthusiasm that's been generated in Phoenix's building all year long, you wouldn't have expected them to lose. So, but I do think it's right there. It's right there for Milwaukee now. There is no way they want to go back to Phoenix because, you know, most people would think you're going to win maybe one of the three or four games on the opponent's home floor, and they've already done that. So there's no chance that they want to go back and play a Game 7 in Phoenix. So I'd be highly surprised if the Bucks aren't able to close it out tomorrow night.
We'll enjoy watching it and enjoy chatting with you, Chris. Appreciate the time. Have a great summer.
All right, Brett. All right, thanks so much.
Yep, Chris Denary, TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers from Bally Sports Indiana, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. And big congrats yesterday. The Fort Wayne champs opened up the TBT with a decisive win, took an early lead and held on throughout the contest, ended up winning at 72-61. They're playing their second game. Now, remember, this is a win-and-move-on tournament, so you have single elimination. You cannot lose. You just have to keep on winning. Champs are playing right now. I don't know if we have a scoreboard or if there's a chance to get an update on, Caleb, if you can stop with the granola bar long enough to let us know what's happening with the I'll keep talking as long as I have to for you to get that big swallow in. Fort Wayne champs yesterday, 72-61. They're playing right now. Caleb Hatch, what's the update?
According to Justin Prince of Fox 55, Fort Wayne, they're down 46-43 to sideline cancer at the half.
Okay, there we go. That's our score update. We'll follow it, and hopefully the champs can have a comeback win. My only concern was, boy, they sure did seem to celebrate yesterday's win, and it's like, wait a minute, guys, you're going for a million, and only one team's going to get it. That's the team that survives every single game. It should be walk off the court, look for tomorrow. Don't celebrate wins. Just move on. Be happy you're playing a game the next day and get ready for it. But champs right now down three, but hopefully they can stage a second half comeback. That game might be finished by the time we wrap up the Sports Rush at 6 o'clock, so hopefully we'll be able to get a final score. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Coming up here in minutes, we are going to make a big announcement. And I don't want to give it away, but I will just say, it's something involving Tin Caps Baseball, and it's something that gives you an opportunity to do something that you may never have that opportunity to do again. Kind of a rare situation involving Tin Caps Baseball, and I can't say much more or I'll start to give it away. Speaking of the Tin Caps, after winning a couple of games this weekend on the road, they're back home starting tomorrow night. And Anthony Contreras, TinCast manager, will join us with his weekly visit coming up at 5:35. Also on the way, Kyle Mallers, a name you probably remember from Carroll High School. He went on to play at Ball State, and now he's going to start a pro career overseas. We'll get all the details from Kyle Mallers when we talk to him here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline at about 5:20 this afternoon. Glad to have you with us. We're rolling through a Monday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.